All right, we're ready to begin presentation RP4. My name is Jan Larson. I'm a director with the Rogers Hornsby chapter. Our presentation today is called Just a Little Bit Outside, and the presenters are Nicholas Maselli and Tom Bertoncino.
Good afternoon, everybody, and thank you for being here. I'm Dr. Bertoncino, so this is Nick here, to get us straight here. Just some house cleaning items first, just to thank the people who has contributed to our research here. Theodore Tarosi from Chadwick, Corey Dawkins, Baseball Prospectus, Harry Pavlis, Don Brooks, Alan Nathan, and Tom Tango, and then RetroSheet, RetroSQL, Stata, and those discussion groups. So we'd like to thank them kind of right off the bat for their contributions to our research. That being said, we're kind of getting into this, what's in the title here, of just a little bit outside. Most of our research is kind of going towards injury prediction, injury prevention, and things of that nature. So we're trying to look at the pitching level, what's causing these injuries. Obviously, you've seen these headlines, day after day in the paper. We just followed a young lady that presented, kind of the headlines that's happening in baseball. But you see these, why are they occurring? Some more headlines: shoulder injuries, elbow injuries, back injuries that put the athlete out of commission for the season. So as we started digging into some of the literature that out there, we started looking at injury rates for pitchers. There's not a lot of information on our Major League Baseball pitching injuries per se. Most of the research that's being done out there is done at the collegiate level and at the youth level, predominantly the youth level. But you can see that there is one major study out there that's been recently done, 2011, that pitchers account for 34%. Of injuries compared to fielders out there. So most of the injuries are occurring to pitchers. And you can look at most of the injuries either to the shoulder, the elbow, and it's understandable. NCAA, pitchers account for 20.9% of game injuries, second only to base runners. So here again, they are the ones that are predominantly getting injured. And if you look at youth, where I said most of the studies are occurring at, even in the youth age, there you can see injuries occurring that we're having surgeries, reconstruction to the UCL, and that's starting to increase as time goes along here. Certainly youth sports are becoming more and more popular. More kids are being engaged in it. You're getting coaches out there, probably just dads. I don't want to insult any dads out there, but there are coaches out there that are not fundamentally prepared to teach a kid how to throw correctly or how much to throw, and they're just throwing them out there, and I want you to pitch seven innings for me, three games a day, type of deal. So you see this increase of injuries in pitchers, and we got to figure out why this is happening out there. Some of the reasons, like I said, most of the stuff with all the studies is being incurred at the adolescent level, but pitch volume. We've all heard about pitch counts. Pitch volume certainly can be a factor in determining or cause of injury. A 10-year study found pitchers from 14 years old who they pitch 100 innings or more are more likely to get injured, 3.5 times more likely. Even so, in another study, 75 pitches in a game setting, more than 75 pitches in a game setting, they're more likely to get injured as opposed to 25 pitches or so in a game. And like I said, a lot of these youths are going out there. They pitch a game, like I said, seven innings. Maybe they throw 60, 70 pitches that game, but 2 or 3 hours later, they're pitching again, and so on and so forth. So this compound effect of that's occurring to the youths out there. Pitch velocity has been found to be a reason why you might have injuries. Pitchers that throw a lot faster, a lot harder, obviously put more stress on the elbows and shoulders, so they're more likely to get injured as opposed to someone who throws a medium type of fastball there. Pitch type. Certainly can affect the injury rate there, or the risk of injury. Pitch type, typically the slide of the curb and the jump ball type of stuff that puts a lot of stress on the elbow, a lot on the shoulder, has been found to be put an athlete more at risk of injury. What's interesting is that the changeup actually reduces your chances of getting injury. I think that's because the less velocity, the less stress is placed on that shoulder and the elbow. Other things could be fatigue and biomechanics, so improper mechanics, going back to this improper coaching, improper training there. Certainly if a person gets the sidearm type of throw, put a lot of stress, a lot of torque on that elbow, that UCL which she was talking about earlier. So we get into this neuromuscular control, loss of neuromuscular control, which leads to functional instability of the shoulder. And the other one of the reasons that's that for possible injury is strength and training and conditioning. So we're finding that one of the things out there, people believe that pitch volume is a big reason for injury, and it certainly is. A high number of pitches can cause injury, but we're finding that the injuries are actually occurring in the beginning of the season, not towards the end of the season. So. Some of the reason for that, the injuries occur in the beginning of the season, is because of a lack of strength training, lack of conditioning. We're not prepared for that long season yet. In particular, finding that these injuries are occurring to the younger person, not the veteran out there. That veteran knows, how to prepare their body for that long season that's coming up. So lack of strength training, lack of conditioning in that beginning part of the season is another reason there. So we kind of looked it up. That's kind of the reason in the literature out there what's occurring. I'm going to turn this over to Nick here, and he's going to kind of find what we're kind of doing at the Major League Baseball level.
Yeah, it turns out we've got some explaining to do. This of course is an exploratory study, and we're using the PitchFX data, and we use from the 2008 through 2012 seasons, which covers almost 4 million pitches. And that's a large data set. This is the first time that we know of the PitchFX has been used this way. It's a very rich, detailed data set, but of course, with anything new, there's a few problems. Do pitch counts have an effect? Well, yeah, sure they do, but it's not the effect that you would expect. I mean, given that pitch counts in the major leagues are artificially limited, you get somebody who throws about 100, 110 pitches, and they're out. That's the end of the game for them. Most of these injuries are occurring early in the season. So you got a per game limit on pitch counts. And when these guys get injured, of course, that means they are limited in the number of pitches they've thrown in a season. They are out of there early when they're getting hurt. That means that you have an inverse relationship between those injuries and the number of pitches these guys have thrown. It's kind of counterintuitive. Guess what? That pitch count is not statistically significant. In terms of what's happening here, as if you care, about statistics. But this is what we're seeing early in the season, okay? So that kind of tells us if it's not the pitch counts, it has to be something else. In other words, but wait, there's more. Starters are more at risk than relievers. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? Who's doing most of the work on the team? The starter, okay? So, depending on the method that we used, and this is the first time in these studies that I've seen somebody use survival analysis, in other words, time to failure. Okay, common in engineering, common in epidemiology, not so much in the sports statistics. I'm hoping that other people will start to look at it and start to pick up on it, because it really makes a lot of sense to use survival analysis here. We did use some logistic regression. Okay, starters are 2, 3, or 12 times more likely to get injured than relief pitchers. I think the most reasonable estimate we turned up is with survival analysis, where we clustered, in other words, controlled for the fact that you have repeated observations of pitchers. So we're taking that intercorrelation into account. So basically, three pitchers are about three times more likely to get injured than relievers. So there's no surprise there. Starters got a heavier workload, but it's not the pitch counts. So you say, what else is there, Maselli? What else could it possibly be? Going back to the literature that Tom has already pulled up, hey, prior injuries. prior injuries. Even when we controlled for the effect of being a starter, in other words, we statistically put that in there and still examined pitch counts. Pitchers with prior injuries are 5 times more likely to suffer another injury in the current season. And that is a very small p-value. The number of pitchers we looked at, about 2,500. Okay, so given multiple seasons, all that good stuff, we were able to control, not, you know, overpower this thing where we're picking up on trivial effects. But you say, well, Maselli, you still haven't told me anything new. I'm still not surprised. Tell me something I don't know. All right? You're not going to like this. But okay. It's in the mix of pitches being thrown. Okay? It's in the mix. We summarized this. In other words, what we did was we collapsed down the number of pitches, so we got some pretty good counts. But then, so we're not getting thrown off by counts, we went ahead and took the proportions of pitches, the mix of what these guys are throwing. So if he's throwing 80% fastballs, we had a 0.8. If he's throwing 13% sliders, 0.13. Okay, so what we had was the proportions of pitches thrown for that pitcher. Okay, everybody with me on this? So uninjured pitchers basically had their whole season summarized. If guys had injuries, though, what they had was, like, think of it as a bucket. Okay, all the pitches leading up to that first injury episode. Then start counting again, work out new proportions if they had another injury bucket. Okay, so if they had 2 or 3 injuries, they'd have 2 or 3 episodes. Okay? So, still had in there that you're a starter. Controlling for being a starter, it's still 1.5 times more risky than being a reliever. But here's your most risky pitch types. Still controlling for multiple observation, you know, being a pitcher. 4-seam fastball, 4 times more risky. 2-seam fastball, almost 4 times as risky. For some reason, a sinker, 3 times as risky. Cutter, more than twice as risky. I don't know. I don't know enough about the mechanics, but I'm guessing there must be something in there that is more wearing on the shoulder, more wearing on the elbow, to where it is just harder to throw that than a straight fastball. Because when you look at the ratios, the hazard ratios for the fastball, what you're getting is a hazard ratio less than 1, meaning you're injured less frequently throwing the straight fastball and a knuckle curve. Of course, there aren't that many guys throwing knuckleballs. What is it, 1-2 guys in the majors? So, what do we recommend? Well, my colleague, Dr. Bertoncino, is the athletic training guy. Pay attention to the prior injury history. And we're not talking about just prior injuries in the majors, prior injuries at the college level. And we'd like to thank the NCAA for refusing to share their injury database with us. Adequate conditioning and rehabilitation, both pre-injury and post-injury. Okay, push for improved coaching practices at the youth, high school, and collegiate levels where these injuries are occurring, because this isn't new injuries, totally. Okay, this is little kids getting hurt. And then stays with them for life. I mean, once you tear up that rotator cuff, that UCL, you're not going to go get a new one. And then, of course, further research is needed. We want to do the graphical analysis. We've got to develop a predictive model, a better one anyway, and get into this and start to get, you know, we stopped at 2012. We've got to get the 2013 season in there, clean that up, so we can get better data than the 2008 season, because there were some transmission problems in some of that data. And we want to make sure that we're getting consistent results. So I think that about does it. Questions? Yes, sir.
Well, a couple of things. One is that pitchers' workloads are way, way down.
Yeah, I know.
Than they were 30 years ago.
Sure.
I'm wondering if you can look at that and see whether injuries are more frequent or less frequent. But the second thing I want to say is I've been doing a big study about CNBC, people sitting in pitching wins above average. Mm-hmm. And looking at pitchers who've been 4 or 5 wins above average, there's a very obvious pattern of a lot of people who only have 1 season or 2 seasons like that, and the vast majority of people like that, something happens to them within 4 or 5 years at most, and they never get anywhere near that again. So
yeah.
It really seems to me like the standard pattern for major league pitchers is he throws the stars again.
And burns out.
In 3 years, he's hurt himself, and he never is able to throw that hard again.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably what's happening. It could, like I said, could be prior injuries. They do that. They burn. They re-injure. They burn out. They're not able to recover. Yeah.
But have you looked at it for like 6 to 7?
Well, unfortunately, the pitch mix data doesn't exist. Now, we could probably go back through retro sheet and get pitch counts with that, but the proportionality that we're doing with this, we wouldn't be able to get to that.
But I'm just talking about the raw question.
How long are the careers?
More or less frequently injured, more or less frequently.
I don't know if the transaction data is there that would give it to us. We had to get some of this data from the Baseball Prospectus guys. I believe they actually have history that goes back further than what we have access to right now.
Thank you.
Looking at starting pitching still, have you looked at situations where there might be an injury that would arise from too many pitches in one inning, or too many situations where the pitcher maybe two or three times during the course of the game had a high leverage, high pitch count?
No, we haven't cut it to that level of detail yet, but that's a good question. Yeah, that's a good thing to do.
You mentioned how the Tommy John injuries were tended to be clustered toward the start of the season.
Yeah.
How do you control for injuries that may have begun or happened during the off season and diagnosed until the end of the year?
It depends on the. Right now, we're having to use the Major League Disabled List. So, to the extent that when they record or go on the disabled list, that's as good as it gets. Because unfortunately, this stuff is going to basically be underreported. Because you got guys that are actually injured, they don't report them on the disabled list. That's underreporting. I mean, it's a flawed system. Major League Baseball doesn't really have that good of an injury recording stuff, and the medical data itself, you're going to have some confidentiality issues. So it's not a perfect solution. We may not be able to actually control for it. Not without access to the major league teams. They don't want to give access right now.
From your statistics and from what I've observed over the years, I don't understand why there's not more number of whole pitchers.
I'm sorry, sir. Say again.
What I've observed over the years, I can't understand why there's not more number of whole pitchers.
Oh, yeah.
They lay us longer.
It may be that the data just hasn't been available because they're just now able to accumulate what the pitch types are and what the proportions are. I don't know of anybody that's been able to look at this way yet. It's hard to catch, too.
It's a tougher pitch to throw, yeah.
As some of the worst pitch effects on
a nightly
basis.
Can you cue the mic? I can't hear you.
As someone who works with pitch effects data on a nightly basis, I find that a lot of times they're actually inaccurate.
Yeah, sure.
So I just heard multiple vice versa. And with that, I ask, do you use a different source of data other than pitch effects, or is this solely based on pitch effects?
Right now, all we have access to is just the pitch FX. They revised the AI classification system over the last several seasons, so that's why we want to go ahead and roll forward with this, because I know the 2008 data has been reclassified somewhat since then. We want to drop that out and pick up 2013 so we can go ahead and get rid of some of the second year classification problems. But yeah, I know they've had issues, but right now it's the best that's available. It's all that's available.
I'm a big fan of Alan Jager and Juan Toss programs and some yoga programs in baseball programs. Do you guys have any recommendations as to how to lessen injuries?
How to lessen? I mean, it certainly starts before preseason. It's my background is more prevention-wise, rehab-wise. I'm big in more functional, what's called FMS, functional movement systems now. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it goes into, training has gone from let's lift as much weight we can, you know, the big heavy dumbbells and barbells and all that stuff, that's old school. We've gone to now, let's move within a functional way with our bodies. Now, all the training now is about your body weight. So it's not about lifting as much as we can, all the dumbbells and barbells. So in the FMS and the SFMA stuff does that functional training just with body weight. It gets your joints moving where it needs to move, selective type of functional training. That's kind of where things are heading.
Okay.
actually has headed in that direction. So that's more and more Gary Gray and people like that, you know, if you're familiar with some of that stuff there.
On your recommendations, the first one, attention to prior injury history. What sounds great on the surface, but realistically, that's hard to really do, particularly perhaps visual players coming from all over countries and things of this nature. How do you recommend that you get a good read on that? Ask the players themselves, the parents, or the medical records, but sometimes those aren't always accurate either. So, what do you get? How do you really get? That's a tough question. For a second, but how do you kind of figure out that first recommendation to get a true read on potential players?
Prior injury history. You know, if you're going from like a collegiate to a major league level, a lot of those major league level teams want release of medical records. And if you're jumping from team to team, obviously the major leagues, that you got, you know, I don't say you got to, but you tend to release your records from a youth perspective to say high school going to college. Boy, there's not a lot of it's just more trust and things of that nature. Maybe through a good physical. If a good physical, when you go onto a college campus, we'll look at an orthopod or something like that. I go back to the kind of similar question before. You know, what's the training? FMS is more of a system that you use to identify potential injuries, and then SFMA is if there is a something that you identify, SFMA will correct that deficiency. So there's things like that, but high school to college, it's kind of roll the dice type of deal.
Well, I'm an epidemiologist, so I'd say work up a biomechanical index and get a baseline on them, so that way you can check and see if you're getting deterioration.
Which the FMS does, has a scoring system too. Squatting, overhead stuff, things like that, functional movement, yeah.
Notice the interesting dichotomy there. Using the youth baseball, we saw those injury or release pain rates very high on the using breaking pitches. I didn't see your hazard rates on major league pitchers with breaking balls, but I guess they were lower than they were for the
Yeah, we were kind of surprised by that because those weren't statistically significant in terms of the hazard rates.
So I don't know the reasoning, that's something to kind of look at. Why would that be the same?
I don't know.
It's just that we're better teaching mechanics by the time you're at the major leagues and mechanics.
You would hope.
you would hope, but. Well, it could,
or you know, at the younger level, it's not so much mechanics, but the tissue is just not prepared, not ready, not, you know, able to handle that stress. You know, 13-year-old going out there throwing a curveball, whatever it is, it's just not ready.
Yeah, I think it's a population question of adults can handle it, whereas children can't. They're more likely to get injured with that. But there must be something different in the mechanics of those pitches.
Yeah, I mean, every dad thinks their kid is the next, you know, whatever it is, Nolan Ryan, whatever it is, yeah.
Yep, if it were Nolan, they wouldn't be getting hurt that way.
Did your research in terms of breakdowns of pitches, I know there aren't many guys throwing this down, but did you see anything regarding the screwball in this myth or theory that it's harder on arms?
We had to use the pitch FX classification, so I'm not sure where the screwball gets slotted. I mean, there were some of those where they put those classifications together, so they're lumped in. I don't think that they cut that classification finely enough. I mean, I'm sorry, I can't answer.
Thanks.
Hope you guys aren't too disappointed, but that's the best we could do.
1 minute to go. Boring.